Here's the end of a text that I received from one of our people this past week. It said, I shudder to think of what would have been if I had ignored her in the admission office and gone on my way back in 1989. Now, I'll give you the rest of the story here in a minute. We'll start with this. Why did I even get the text to begin with? Last week, we introduced the vision for Cap City for 2026. We're calling it Just One Plus Five. The goal is that everyone would reach at least one person this year for Jesus. And what would happen if we did that? What if every one of us intentionally targeted someone to share Jesus with? What if we got serious about representing Jesus to people in our lives? What if we made an emphasis to pray for a specific person every day and to pray for ourselves every day, that we would be attentive to the opportunities that present themselves? And if we got real serious about praying, if we got real serious about reaching our one, then we'd probably become very aware of spiritual opportunities that are happening around us. We'd be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit in all sorts of other situations. We'd probably end up having more spiritual conversations than we could even anticipate. And the impact would be just incredible. Because we would see a difference in our families, we'd see a difference in our church, we'd see a difference in our community. And we would get to participate, we'd get to play a part in something that impacts eternity. And so last week, we even gave you a ping pong ball to serve as a reminder of Just One Plus Five. Now, if you weren't here, if you didn't get one, they're still around. You may have seen them just now when you went to the worship stations. Feel free to grab one of them on your way out this morning if you didn't get one or you wanted to. Last week, we did an illustration. We had a cup up here. We had different people in the room with ping pong balls throw and try to make their ping pong ball into the cup. And we saw that it's easier to get the ping pong ball where it needs to go when you're close. Which means that, as an illustration, it means that you are placed exactly where you need to be to reach people with Jesus. You are called to the people who are closest to you. And so this ping pong ball serves as a reminder for you to pray for your one, the ones that you already know, the ones that you're already close to. And so take that ping pong ball. You can write a name of the person on the back. You can do like this person did and just cover it in names, which I think is really cool. Let it serve as a reminder for you to begin to pray and to be attentive for those opportunities. And use it as a reminder to pray for this church, that we would pray for one another and for our faithfulness as a church. Pray that we would have the courage to represent Jesus to everyone, every individual, every person that is in front of us. And you may have noticed last week even, we had this large number one over here off to the side. We didn't draw attention to it last week. You may notice that our stage looks a little bit different this week. Made some changes to it as well. But this number one is over here. It's down on the floor. It's off in front of the stage. Here's what we're going to do with that throughout the year. For 2026, we want to measure your participation in this mission. Reality is we can't control outcomes. We can't control what the world around us does. We can't control the ways that the gospel message lands on somebody or roots into someone else's heart. We can't force people to change their lives. We can't force people to follow Jesus. But we can measure our faithfulness. And we want to celebrate when we are. We want to celebrate when we participate in the mission that Jesus has given us and the mission that we're taking on as a church. So this is what it looks like to be faithful. There's two specific things that we're going to be measuring this year. First one is that it looks like inviting someone to church. But it's not just that. It's not just inviting people to church life as if somehow that magically saves them. It's one part of the mission, but there's other ways. Second thing that we want to measure, that we want to focus on, is that you would bring up Jesus to someone in conversation, that you would just share Jesus with someone. And every time you do one of those two things, if you invite someone to church or if you bring up Jesus, we want you to drop a ping pong ball into the number one. We've got a bucket that's right there on the ground right next to the display. You don't have to bring yours from home and put it in. We've got that prepared. We're ready for that. Here's a couple things that it isn't, all right, just practically speaking. This doesn't mean that if you invite everyone to church on social media, that like for every friend you have, that's a ping pong ball. That doesn't work, okay? That doesn't count. Not gonna pay attention to that. I appreciate that you're doing it. It's just not what we're aiming for. And it doesn't count, like, if you also, like, you know, go onto your social media and you type up some really incredible gospel presentation. Well, although, you know, that's really, really cool, it's not exactly what we're aiming at, not exactly what we're looking for, okay? We're looking for something much more personal. We're looking for something much more intentional. And so when you invite someone, or if you share Jesus with someone, that next Sunday, we want you to come in, grab one of those ping pong balls, and just drop it into the number one. You can do it before service. You can do it after service. You can do it during our communion time. Any of that's acceptable. If you've done that this past week, we want to start celebrating right now. And so today, before you leave, make sure you come up here, grab your ping pong ball, drop it in the one, because we want to celebrate when we're being faithful to this mission that God has given us. Now, again, we can't control or force people to be receptive to the gospel, but we can participate in the mission. We can be faithful to the opportunities that present themselves, kind of like the text that I started with this morning. And here's the full story. Got a text that said, I went to school at KSU in 1989. I walked into the admissions office to take care of something, and there was a young lady sitting in there crying. No one was working with her at the time. So I asked if she was okay and if I could help her. She was Canadian. She was a freshman far from home and explained that there was an issue with her housing. So I stayed with her and got her connected to someone who could help her. They got her squared away, and then I asked her her field of study. It was the same as mine, biology. So we ended up having classes together and studying together and then talking about other things other than biology. She was searching. She eventually began attending Capital City with me and became a Jesus follower. And after graduation, she moved to North Dakota for her grad program and met a wonderful Jesus-following man and married him. I got to be a part of a beautiful wedding. We've stayed close friends across the miles and watched highs and lows in our own journeys and in each other's kids. They've come to see us on a couple occasions when on vacation out this way. We send Christmas cards and letters to each other every year. And I almost started bawling when this note was included in this year's card. It said, you are truly one of my oldest and dearest friends, and I thank God for putting you in the admissions office that day. And then she shared with me in this text, she says, I just about lost it as I thought of how good God is, and I also shudder to think of what would have been if I had ignored her in the admissions office and gone on my way back in 1989. It's a powerful story, isn't it? And I think those stories are sitting in this room right now. I think some of them are in the past, but I think some of those stories are in the future. Opportunities for us that we can look towards in the future. There's so many things I love about this story, and we're going to come back to it again this morning at another time, but I think it's a beautiful example of what it looks like to live on mission. It's a beautiful example of how easy it can be to start someone on a path towards Jesus, which is really what this series is all about. Last week, it looked like beginning with prayer. Prayer is a foundational piece. Everything else that we talk about in this series is going to be ways to open the door to introduce Jesus to your one. Now, even as I say that, it sounds like these are strategies that we're trying to use, right, to win your one, as if somehow I'm going to train you like a salesman for Jesus, right? But I think you're going to find that it's something very different. These are not strategies. I think this is what it looks like to be a Jesus follower. So today we're going to talk about listening. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about eating together and serving and sharing your story. Together they spell out the word bless. This isn't a concise list of how to share Jesus with someone, and it's not a required order of what it looks like to share Jesus with someone. These are four different ways that you can take advantage of opportunities to help bring Jesus into someone's life. These are the ways that you can be trained and equipped to be intentional in trying to reach your one. But again, these are not just strategies. These are instead characteristics. These are values to adopt in the manner of our leader, Jesus. And if you really break this down, this falls underneath one very specific word that you're going to be very familiar with. It's a word that you've heard before. It's a word that we preach on often here at Cap City. All of this is really just a challenge for you to love. Last week, we talked about some marching orders that we got in Matthew 28, where we're told to go and make disciples, and it's a command that's given to us by the one who has all authority. That's how Jesus introduces himself, as the one who has all authority. And so we are commanded to go. Whenever you go, wherever you go, every time you go, you take Jesus with you. John 13 gives us another command from Jesus. We're supposed to be goers who take Jesus with us, and we're supposed to be defined by love. John 13 says it this way, a new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This verse may be the most common thing that we preach here at Cap City. Seems to just come up all the time. Start with the fact that Jesus says this is a command. There's no wiggle room on this. There's no trying to ignore it or working your way around it. This is a command, and it comes from the one who has all authority. Love is the expectation for every Jesus follower. So, if he is your Savior, and if you like that part where Jesus saves you from condemnation and your sin, then you also have to deal with the fact that he's your Lord. And if he's your Lord, then that means that he's in charge and that you better follow his commands. So this Lord, the one who claims all authority, says that his followers are commanded to love. This isn't a decision based on random chance. This isn't something that God casually came up with or carelessly decided that you have to do. It's a core value of this Jesus movement because it's the core value of who Jesus was, right? He says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's the pattern and the example that he set that he's calling us to imitate. He loved, and so we are called to do the same. And if we get this right, according to Jesus, it will cause us to stick out like a sore thumb. Jesus says that everyone will know that you're his disciples because of love. The love that flows from Jesus' followers is a different kind of love. It doesn't look like love that can be found in other places within this world. Jesus' followers have a selfless love. It's different. It's unique. It's a core characteristic of who we are. It makes us stand out. So when we talk about listening and eating together, serving one another, sharing our stories, you need to recognize that first and foremost, these are actions of love. These aren't groundbreaking ideas. This is the way that you want to be treated. This is the way that you want to be loved because you like being listened to. You like being invited over or out for dinner. You like to be served. You probably even like hearing a powerful story. Essentially, what we're saying is that if you will treat people well, if you will love them, if you will treat them the way that you want to be treated, well, then they will be more interested in hearing anything that you have to say, especially something about Jesus. And that's what this challenge for 2026 is. If you learn how to love, people will be more receptive and more likely to respond to Jesus. Now, the opposite is also true. If you treat people poorly, in any situation, if you disrespect or if you act selfishly or if you ignore, whatever it may be, if you don't love and then you try to talk about Jesus, it's Jesus' reputation that takes the hit. Which is why this isn't a sermon series about strategies to get people to follow Jesus. No, we're going to work on ourselves. Loving other people is how we look more like Jesus. And one of the natural results that's going to come out of it is that it makes us better at representing Jesus and it makes people more receptive to that message. And so let's look at love practically played out. Let's talk about listening and let's start with what I think is a really incredible quote. Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. This quote comes from a guy named David Augsburger. He was a preacher, a writer, counselor. Do you agree with this quote? Do you feel it? Is there something in this that resonates deeply within you? I bet that if you made a short list of the people that you like the most, the people that mean the most to you, you'll probably find a common theme that each of them will probably listen to you. Doesn't something awaken within you when someone else stops what they're doing to give you their attention? When you're having a conversation with someone and they can communicate back to you that they understand you or that they can relate to you, doesn't that do something to your heart? Doesn't it feel like being loved? Being heard feels like being loved. And if being heard feels like being loved, then not being heard feels like not being loved. Can you agree with that? Does that resonate with you? I think that's the place that most affairs start. Because someone listens in a way that the spouse doesn't listen. And the heart is comforted and it feels like love and it takes you down a path that you probably never intended to go. And maybe your marriage is different. Maybe it's different than mine or many others that I've sat with. But most of the time, the two most used phrases in a marriage conflict are, you don't understand me and you aren't listening to me. And conflict ensues because not being heard feels like not being loved. If love is lacking, it's likely that listening and understanding are also lacking. And then if you take all these ideas and you hold them up against this verse, James 1:19, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Everyone should be quick to listen. Should be slow to speak. Should be slow to become angry. Is there anything in the Bible right now that's more countercultural than that? I mean, we could go on and on all day about social media and texting and the ways that we consistently misunderstand each other. Our world has become so loud. Everyone seems to be shouting and arguing. Everyone seems to be angry. Everyone seems to be the exact opposite of this verse. Doc was telling me a story this week of his old coaching days, and he's telling the story of one day they're on the bus traveling. He's with all these college-aged young men that are really more boys at this point in life, right? And it's loud, and they're obnoxious and rambunctious, as you would expect a bus full of bunch of soccer-playing boys in college would be, right? And Doc says that amongst all this chaos, there's all these guys talking. One of the boys notices that there's this other player on the team who isn't talking. He's quiet. He's just kind of sitting back. And he asks him, why aren't you talking with everyone else? And the kid responded with just a perfect answer. He said, so many of you are talking, someone needs to listen. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing in our world right now? Someone who is quick to listen and slow to speak. And we're awful at this, aren't we? We can't even remember someone's name. Like in the most basic, simple situations, in an introduction, we are so impatient with listening. We're so not quick to listen. We're so impatient that even in the context of meeting someone for the first time and you hear their name, you don't even hear their name because you're so excited to say your name. You're so excited to talk, even something so small as your name. We can't focus. I think that says a lot about us, and I think it says a lot about our world. And so what an incredible opportunity for Jesus followers to display something different. Wouldn't that make us stand out if Jesus followers were known as listeners? Don't you think that would make us look so incredibly different? And it's such low-hanging fruit. So simple. If you could simply remember someone's name, it could be the thing that makes their day. I think you know why. It's because it feels like love. We're talking about caring about people. If you would love people in a very simple, practical way of just listening to them, it would make you stand out. And the louder and the more chaotic and angrier our world gets, the more powerful this can be. Can you imagine how shocking it would be to see a group of people who aren't angry, who aren't shouting, who are genuinely listening? Jesus said they will know us by our love. And I believe that if the church looked like that, I think people would be drawn to it like a moth to a flame. I think it would make that quote just come alive that we started with, being heard is so close to being loved that it's almost indistinguishable. I think if you could live in that kind of a way, people would be desperate to be around you. Let's get practical. If we're talking about how we can love people better, we're talking specifically about listening. What are some ways that we can get better at listening? A couple things we can talk about. The first one is this. We can become listeners, better listeners, if we would allow interruption and to give our full attention. Probably two things that you don't want to do. And I put them together because being interrupted but not giving full attention means that you haven't really been interrupted. These two ideas are linked tightly together. I want you to imagine a scenario, okay? Imagine that you have someone that you've identified as your one. You want to introduce them to Jesus, and then they approach you. Maybe it's for a big conversation about life. Maybe they're needing to just have a simple conversation. Maybe they want to hang out with you, whatever it may be. Doesn't really matter what the interruption is. Just imagine that they have put themselves in position to take some of your time, but you're too busy, and you don't make yourself available to them. And you may even have good excuses. Maybe it's work. Maybe you got tickets to a UK game. Maybe it's a cell phone that you just can't look away from. I don't know. Distractions seem to be absolutely everywhere for us, right? When you don't allow someone to interrupt you, you're telling them that they're less valuable to you than whatever it is you're wrapped up in. And that message is in direct conflict with this guy named Jesus. Jesus says that they are so important that he entered into this world to save them, that he went out of his way to designate 33 years for serving and loving and dying for them. And you can't put down what you're doing? If you want to reach someone for Jesus, you have to be interruptible. And those interruptions have the potential to turn into the biggest conversations. Now, it's not always true, and there should certainly be boundaries, and you can protect yourself from being taken advantage of. All of that is true, but if you love them, and if you want them to come to Jesus, then you've got to make yourself available, even when it's inconvenient. Jesus doesn't only arrive on your schedule. Opportunities to speak truth can happen at any moment, so you've got to be ready. And don't underestimate how powerful giving someone your full attention can be. I don't know that we always recognize it when we receive it, but we sure know what it feels like when we don't get it, don't we? It's incredibly offensive. I know this guy, he's pretty important. He's president of a company. He's got an awful reputation when it comes to listening. It's interesting to me because I've heard this from different people who don't have any connection to each other. I've heard these stories about this guy. I've never experienced it myself directly, but I've seen it play out. This guy, this president, he consistently rubs people the wrong way because of how he treats people in one-on-one interactions. We're not even talking like talking to large groups. Like in the individual direct interactions, he won't give people his full attention. Even for the people who work for him, they come in, they have meetings, and he'll sit and stare at his computer and never look up, never look at them, and just keep doing his own work while he has a conversation on the side. And it's offensive. May sound like your workplace. I once heard that this guy, this president, he was out visiting some people, traveling, doing some PR work, trying to raise some money. And he had this guy who was hosting him. He lives on a lake, and he wanted to take this president out on his boat and show him around on this lake. And so this president gets onto the boat with his host and with his computer. And he pulls his computer out on the boat and stares at it and like talks to his host like secondarily, but never looks up because he was too busy. He's uninterruptible. And he communicated, whether intentionally or not, that the host wasn't worth his attention. And you can guess that the host was pretty offended and not eager to support this guy and his work. Your full attention is one of the greatest gifts you can give someone. In fact, I think it's an act of love to be able to look someone in the eye and let them know that you're locked in with your full attention, that wherever they are, whatever they need, they have your time. You show them that they are valuable and worth your attention. And if you can do that, if you can pause to listen at a moment's notice, and if you can give someone your full attention, then you're going to give yourself the opportunity to hear how you can step into their life even further. It's incredible power that comes with listening. It's going to give you the opportunity to speak. And so the first thing that you need to do to be a good listener is to allow for interruptions and to give your full attention. The second thing you need to do to be a good listener is to identify the need. And when you listen for that need that they have. It's like a door that's just barely cracked open that allows you to see them in a new way. And it can look like all sorts of stuff. It may be an emotional need. If you go back to the beginning of this message, that first story that we looked at, there was a young woman who's crying in an admissions office. There was a problem. There was a need. Most of the time, I try to stay as uninvolved as possible, right? Thank God that's not how that story went, right? Someone steps in. Someone sees it and they recognize it and they step into that space and it opens all sorts of doors. Maybe it doesn't look like that. Maybe you have a coworker who seems irritable lately. Maybe you have a best friend who has withdrawn. It could be a neighbor who's always seeking validation from you. They need your approval. They need some encouragement. And if you can begin to see that, if you can begin to listen, if you can be able to give them your full attention, you're going to see these doors cracking open with opportunities. And if you can walk into that, and if you can then meet that need, whatever it may be, even if it's just giving your full attention and listening, if you can respond in a way that satisfies the need that they have, that's an act of love, which means that you loved when you listened and you loved when you responded to their need. It's a way that you are fulfilling Jesus' call for his followers. And meeting a need builds trust, and it will prove to them that they are loved. And so don't be surprised when they are more willing to listen to you. It's the same with other needs as well, even spiritual needs. If you go back to the story at the beginning, again, it's revealed that over time, this girl was searching. That's the language from the text. She was searching. You're not necessarily going to know that day one, but it builds over time. It may take a while. But eventually, if you listen well, you'll start to see those cracks in the door. Maybe your spouse mentions that they're searching for deeper meaning or purpose. That's an open door. Maybe it's a coworker who's expressing interest in prayer or scripture. That's an open door. Maybe it's your best friend who's starting to ask some big questions, or they start showing curiosity about faith. That's an open door. There's an old story that I heard, and I don't know that this is true. You know, preachers can tend to make up stories. I don't know about this one, all right? I've heard this one from several different places, attributed to several different people, and I can't verify any of it, all right? But I think the point of the story stands regardless, all right? So the story goes something along the lines of there's a preacher on a plane, and there's a person next to him, and they begin talking, and the preacher introduces himself and tells the person next to him that he's a preacher, to which then the guest, the new person that he's meeting, says, "Oh, I hate God." And the preacher responds by saying, "Tell me about this God that you hate, and I may hate him too." It's a fascinating answer, with this idea that it starts with listening. It doesn't start with, "Let me explain to you why you're wrong." It starts with, "Let me listen to you and where you're at." Because I think there's so many misunderstandings about our God and the world around us. And if we don't slow down and listen, we're going to talk right past each other. If we can't allow ourselves to be interrupted, if we don't give our full attention, if we can't listen, then we will miss the needs of our ones. And we think that we're being helpful with all the stuff that we have to say, but we won't be answering the questions that the people around us have. Listening helps ensure that you are speaking toward the right thing, listening to where they are so that your response can meet them where they are. If you can do that, it's going to feel like love. Being heard is so close to being loved. If you can listen to people, then you can love people, and you're going to look a lot like Jesus. Now, all of this is connected back to love. Do you love the people around you? Do you love your one? Does the idea of people going to hell break your heart? I mean, it should. And if not, then there's other conversations that we need to have, right? There's a little verse in an obscure book at the end of the New Testament called Jude, where it says that we're trying to rescue them from the fire, that there's something on the line here, that if we can become better at loving the people around us in the very simple, practical way of listening, it will be incredible to see what opportunities begin to present themselves. And so can you listen? Seems simple. It's such a big deal. It means so much. Can you slow down and listen? I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I'm going to pray that over us as we step back into worship. God, I thank you so much for how good you are to us. God, I thank you that you made the first move, that you came to us and that you rescued us and that you loved us first. God, that's powerful. God, I pray that we would begin seeing people with love and compassion the same way that you see us. God, I pray that we would be quick to listen, not quick to speak, not quick to respond emotionally, but that we would be quick to listen, eager to hear and understand the people around us. God, it is an incredible way for us to love. Give us the courage and the mindset. God, lead us with your Holy Spirit that we would represent you well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.